Welcome back to The Takeaway. It's Todd Zwillick with you today. U.S. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson is in Saudi Arabia today trying to defuse a confrontation between the Saudis, several other Gulf countries, and Qatar. The diplomatic crisis has been going on for a little over a month now. Four Arab nations that border Qatar have cut ties with that country. They're trying to force Qatar to distance itself from Iran and sever terrorist ties that its neighbors accuse it of holding. Here's Rex Tillerson.
We call on the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, the United Arab Emirates, Bahrain, and Egypt to ease the blockade against Qatar. There are humanitarian consequences to this blockade. We're seeing shortages of food, families are being forcibly separated, and children pulled out of school. We believe these are unintended consequences, especially during this holy month of Ramadan, but they can be addressed immediately.
That was the Secretary of State last Friday. Today, he's in the Saudi Arabian city of Jeddah holding meetings with foreign ministers from the nations boycotting Qatar. The Secretary of State is trying to work through a standoff between two sets of U.S. allies with American interests and the balance of power in the region at stake. And he's doing it while managing a boss, the president, who was tweeting a very different message than the United States is carrying now. Charles Dunn is a scholar with the Middle East Institute, and he served as a diplomat in the U.S. Foreign Service for 24 years. He says this crisis could undermine U.S. counterterrorism efforts in the region.
First of all, it's having several knock-on effects that are very unhelpful to United States goals. The first of these is Gulf unity. If they're going to confront ISIS, if they're going to confront the problem of terrorism more generally, and especially if they're going to confront Iran, Gulf unity is absolutely paramount. This crisis has shattered that unity, at least for now. It's also driven Qatar into the arms of the Iranians, for whom they're now at least partially dependent on food supplies, since the Gulf states imposed embargo by land and by sea and by air. So this type of controversy is extremely unhelpful in that regard. It also prevents certain obstacles to the ability of the United States to coordinate anti-ISIS operations. The U.S. has the largest air base in the Middle East and the largest U.S. military facility in the Middle East in Qatar. That coordinates the war against ISIS, where you have the central command forward base located. And if this controversy continues, it's going to make it more difficult for the United States to coordinate these very important efforts from that location, or from anywhere else, for that matter, in the Gulf.
Charles Dunn, how much time was lost here, however? You just laid out the case why Qatar is such a critical ally. Of course, Saudi Arabia, UAE, the other countries on the other side of this dispute are important U.S. allies as well. The American administration didn't seem to know what its position was a month ago. President Trump at first praised the Saudis for isolating Qatar, then seemed to back away after learning more. Tillerson's been taking a more conciliatory stance the whole time and is now trying to solve the problem, and it seems like they lost weeks, if not a month.
I think they lost several weeks trying to get an effective mediation effort going, precisely for the reasons that you named. There was a very serious disconnect between the White House, the Secretary of Defense, and the Secretary of State. Both of the two secretaries realized what the stakes were and what they needed to do in order to calm the temperature down. And it was very difficult for them to do that when the president was tweeting in praise of the Saudi and other Gulf states' actions against Qatar, fingering Qatar as a major financier of terrorism at the highest level, I believe the president said, just days essentially after he had praised Qatar as a strategic ally in his speech in Saudi Arabia. These curveballs that kept coming out of the White House were noticed in the Gulf and were used to essentially downplay Secretary Tillerson's efforts. Some of that static seems to have gone away now, and the administration seems to be pretty much on the same page, which is why Tillerson was able to undertake his trip and can now go to Jeddah with something in hand from Qatar that he can use to try to jumpstart talks to help resolve the crisis.
So I want to drill down just for a moment more on the last several weeks, because Charles Dunn, you're describing a situation where the secretaries of defense and state of the United States had a keen sense of how critical a crisis this was between U.S. allies in a critical region, and the president of the United States did not, and essentially undermined their efforts.
Yes, that's correct. In my view, the president seems to have been pretty effectively played by the Saudi Arabian government during his trip to Riyadh, in which billions of dollars worth of arms deals, economic deals were signed. The president was feted and extolled by the Saudis as a great leader. And I think he was more than willing to go along with the Saudis' next moves, which essentially amounted to an effort to quash a long-term regional rival and clip its wings so it could no longer execute a somewhat independent foreign policy. And so I think the president's initial tweets were not helpful. And as many people have noted, it's unclear whether he understood the extent to which the United States had a military presence in Qatar that U.S. CENTCOM and other military efforts vitally depend on for the very struggle against terror that the president so badly wants to fight.
Charles Dunn, we saw a G20 summit in Europe just last week where American allies seemed to be resigned to the fact that the United States was no longer taking a leadership role in their affairs. Does the United States still have as strong a hand as it did with Saudi Arabia, with UAE, and indeed with Qatar when problems like this flare up?
I think the United States still has a very strong hand with the countries in the Arab Gulf, particularly because they are dependent on the United States for their defense against Iran, for keeping the sea lanes open, and for supplying them with arms and technology on which, as I say, they are very dependent. What's happened with U.S. leadership in the Gulf, in my opinion, over the course of the last 6 months or so, is that the Saudis in particular have concluded that the administration can be led to support their own efforts to strengthen their hegemony in the region to a much greater extent than was ever possible under the Obama and even the Bush administrations. So I think they're taking advantage of that right now. So one of Secretary Tillerson's tasks is to disabuse the Saudis and their allies of the notion that the United States is going to sit back and acquiesce in efforts to crush another United States ally and throw, you know, Gulf cooperation on security and terrorism into chaos. But that is going to take some persistent and dedicated work by the Secretary and as well as the Secretary of Defense and their respective departments.
A newly coherent foreign policy for a Middle East crisis seems to be in effect as the Secretary of State heads to Jeddah to negotiate an agreement between rival U.S. allies. Charles Dunn, a scholar with the Middle East Institute, thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thank you.